Off the Ball Rugby.
The story is it's because it's his son, but if it was whatever, Owen O'Brien, with that experience, it's his fourth Lions tour. He does it. This is meat and drink to him.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
Right then, so Taylor versus Serrano, 3 headlines and all women's fight card at Madison Square Garden next Friday. Taylor's undisputed super lightweight title will be at stake in the main event. And in total, 6 title fights are going to take place on the boxing fight card, which streams live on Netflix. Nikisa Badarian, CEO of MVP Promotions and friend of the show, is back with us. Nikisa, how are you doing?
I'm great, Owen. How are you?
Very well. So the excitement for next week must be building. Give us the inside scoop here on how Amanda is fixed for the big trilogy.
I think Amanda and Katie are both looking great. Happy birthday to Katie Taylor.
Yes.
She turned 39 yesterday, and you know, we're honored that she'll be spending the first week of her 39th birthday with MVP and Netflix. We're super excited. I just saw ESPN put out an article for the top fights in July of 2025. And Taylor versus Serrano was number one, ahead of Usyk and Dubois, who were fighting the week after. So we know we have an important event, not just for women's boxing, but for the sport of boxing as a whole, and we're excited.
What is the MVP interaction like with Katie Taylor's camp in the week out from a fight like this?
We have a great relationship with Thomas, with Brian, active communication by our content team, social media team, athlete relations, PR with Michael and Liz. It's great to work with them. She's an unbelievably professional athlete across the board, and you know, we're excited to do this together again.
She's very professional. She's very understated. Whenever you want to try and get a soundbite out of her, as I well know as somebody who's interviewed her many times, she never delivers that in the way that so many other people in the fight game do. But I guess she's got to such a level, Nikisa, where she can do whatever the hell she wants in these interviews. And I guess it says quite a lot that this fight sells itself without Katie needing to be a person that she isn't.
It sells itself 100% because the product in the ring has been unbelievable. But when you look at their first press conference for this trilogy, Katie got a little spicy, and so did Amanda. So I think it's going to be a very exciting fight week, and I'm looking forward to it.
It was because of, the debate around the length of the rounds, right? That's why Katie was getting a little bit spicy?
I think it was that, but it was also Katie that made the point around Amanda trying to push a narrative that she didn't lose the fights she won and Katie lost. And that really led to a back and forth between the two of them, which, look, Katie on paper won those fights fairly and squarely, right? Split decision in the first one, unanimous in the second one. But there was millions and millions of fans who felt that Amanda won, just like there's millions of fans that feel Katie won. And that's what makes a trilogy that's 2-0 super exciting, because they're so close in terms of the output of those events.
Is there still any lingering anger within the Serrano camp about the last fight?
I think it's just an acknowledgement of you have to prepare to give the judges a performance that allows you to win, right? Like, look, Amanda threw or landed 107 more punches than Katie Taylor in that second fight. Katie also had a point deducted for headbutting, and Amanda still lost unanimously in that second fight. So you have to recognize that, right? And figure out how to adjust your game plan if you want a different outcome. And that I'm sure they're doing.
What are they doing differently in terms of her preparation for this fight?
I'm not in the camp, and I'm not her trainer, and I'm not her coach. So I can't tell you exactly what they're doing differently, but I'm sure they're looking at the tape from those first two fights and figuring out how to evolve, just like I'm sure Katie is, right? Katie, as you can clearly see from the first fight and second fight, was the one who was hurt both times. And I'm sure she's not looking to be hurt by Amanda Serrano again. So I'm sure her team is devising a game plan that avoids the power of Amanda.
In terms of making this fight happen, was it Madison Square Garden or nothing? Or were there other avenues that you guys were tempted to go down in terms of making the trilogy happen?
I think in terms of the timing and the objective and the significance of Madison Square Garden for both fighters, right? Like, certainly we talked about Croke Park being a possibility, but what makes MSG unique, it's like a World Cup game in a neutral territory. You have half the place filled up with Ireland and half the place filled up with Puerto Rico. And so when Katie lands, you hear the Irish fans go, ooh. And when Amanda lands, you hear that Puerto Rican fans go, ah. And that dynamic is very special. And that's why we wanted to go back to MSG.
Do you think you guys are going to be able to make it a sellout on the night?
100%. No doubt about it. A sellout with at least double the ticket sales revenue of the first event.
Okay, so, fantastic. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be in the city, but I was just looking up Ticketmaster there. There's still a lot of tickets on sale.
Nothing out of the ordinary for where boxing is at this moment in time, or UFC for that matter, right? There's a much more week of buyer behavior if you look at across the sport of boxing, 100%.
In terms of the Netflix subs, then, I guess it's a little bit different to a lot of pay-per-view figures in terms of judging how important a fight is to, say, subscriptions for Netflix and all that. No question about it. The last one was a stunning success on Netflix. Is the same thing going to happen next week, or what are the early signs?
I think I'm comfortable in saying that I believe this fight will be the most viewed fight of 2025, more than Canelo's fight that he had, more than Jake's fight that he's had, more than Gervonta's fight, more than any UK fight that's happened in terms of viewership, right? Part of that is it's not behind pay-per-view, it's on Netflix. Do I think it's going to achieve the same numbers as a Jake Paul, Mike Tyson-led event? No, that was a cross-generational moment in sports, but I do think we're going to see very, very meaningful numbers, and the fighters are achieving very meaningful numbers. The final of Wimbledon is July 12th and 13th. Women on the 12th, men on the 13th. Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano will walk out of there on July 10th, having made more money than the champion and the runner-up of Wimbledon. And that in itself is a massive moment for the sport of boxing.
In case you missed this morning's Off the Ball breakfast,
we had this.
Had a fans bottle.
Go on, I'm struggling. Is this a Cork hurling thing? But I just like...
What is that, lad? I mean, Cork is new.
But like, yes. So any Cork hurling fans I've been talking to over the last few weeks, they're stricken by a kind of terror.
And we also had this.
The call to arms, like Tipperary are at the exact same crack. I was in the Horse and Jockey last night, and Liam Cahill and Jake Morris were at the exact same crack. I hope the Tipperary fans can get a hold of tickets, because we are going to need them. And, well, Jesus, they were worth an extra point last weekend, weren't they?
Hey.
The way they celebrated Noel McGrath's wide into the hill. So
you can catch everything from this morning's Off the Ball breakfast elsewhere on the Go Loud app, and every weekday morning from 7:30.
When we last spoke to you, Nikisa, I asked you if Amanda Serrano would ever fight in Ireland, and you made the point that it would be Croke Park or nothing if the fight was to happen in Ireland. Did you ever explore that avenue?
As I said, for this fight, if not really, given the timing and the desire to have a balanced atmosphere, right? I think, you know, let's see what happens next Friday. And if the judges deem Amanda the winner, then I think if Amanda wants to do it again, why wouldn't she be open to it? But at the same time, I could see her saying, well, I want to do this in Puerto Rico. And for Katie Taylor, you know, who knows how many fights she has left after this? It's really, really up to her. We would love to continue to be in business with Katie Taylor. She's a phenomenal athlete and a phenomenal person.
If Taylor won the last fight, could she have said to you guys, let's go to Ireland, and you guys would then have been obliged to say, yep, we're packing our bags?
No, I think, look, the truth is, the first fight, there was a rematch clause in Taylor's favor, right? The second fight, there was a rematch clause in Taylor's favor. Had she had lost both times, she won. There was no rematch clause. So, the one thing I will say, I've heard Katie say a few times, she's giving Amanda this opportunity. She's the one that's making this happen. The reality is MVP and Amanda Serrano are giving Katie Taylor the opportunity, both in fight two and fight three. No, that's the truth, right? Because there was no mandatory fight, right? Amanda Serrano on paper lost those fights. So we had to create an attractive enough opportunity that made sense for Katie Taylor. So, and we have, she's making a record payday and she deserves to do so, as is Amanda. But that notion of Katie Taylor is giving Amanda the opportunity is just not accurate.
But who's putting their titles on the line?
Katie is.
So she's giving an opportunity to a challenger.
Katie had lost, she probably would have made one third the money that she would have made in this scenario, right? So they need each other to create these moments. Let me be clear on that, right? As much as Katie needs Amanda, Amanda needs Katie. It's about two fighters. I always say Floyd Mayweather had some massive fights against Pacquiao, McGregor, Canelo, and De La Hoya. And then he had a lot of, you know, medium and some smaller fights against less worthy opponents. And so these two together create magic. They need each other. That enables an MVP to come in and create a moment where there's record paydays for both of these women.
In a purely sporting sense, though, Katie is kind of good for Amanda in this regard. I mean, challenging for the undisputed titles is, if we're just talking about sport only, I mean, Katie is definitely on the pedestal here.
Katie's definitely the undisputed champion at 140 pounds, just like Amanda Serrano was the undisputed champion at 126 pounds, but gave up one of the belts because she wants to be able to compete under the same rules as the men do. So they're both fairly accomplished fighters. Amanda Serrano, seven different divisions at the world level. Katie Taylor, two-time undisputed. It's an exciting matchup, and they bring the best out of each other.
It depends also, I guess, on your perspective. Obviously, as a businessman, I'm sure that the revenue, the subscriptions, all that are important. And sure, it's fantastic for the visibility of women's boxing that those figures are super high. And I don't disagree with that. But then there's a whole bunch of people, maybe like me, who are just sports fans and judge it very coldly like that and just see, you know, two great boxers going up against each other. And one of them is in the position of being the undisputed champ. And when you talk about one person being good for the other person, well, Katie Taylor is kind of giving Amanda Serrano a final opportunity to beat her, a final opportunity to take her belts.
But she didn't have to, right? Why is she doing it, you think? Out of the goodness of her heart, just being kind?
Sporting greatness as well as earning money.
Being a good Samaritan for the day, you think?
Say that again?
You think just being a good Samaritan and just wanting to get in there and take punches?
I mean, it is her job, and I'm sure she's got to try and make as much money as possible while doing her job. But in a purely sporting capacity, I think it's pretty clear who the big dog is. From my standpoint anyway, Nikisa, I think that's fair to say.
I think the big dog of the 140-pound division is Katie Taylor and Chantel Cameron, without a doubt. Those are the two best fighters at 140 pounds. Amanda Serrano at 126 pounds, having fought as light as 115 pounds, is a massive, massive dog who can come all the way up there and actually hurt the 140-pounders who can't seem to hurt her. That's my opinion.
Why did it need to be a neutral venue for the third fight?
Why did it need to create the right atmosphere for the fans, for TV, to create an unbelievable magical moment like the first one, which gave us the ability to say to Netflix, look at that fight. We want to make this the co-main of what we know is going to be the biggest boxing event in history. And Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson, since the days of Muhammad Ali, by far, in any metric in terms of viewership, the biggest fight. And we specifically put Taylor Serrano right before them to give them the maximum eyeballs possible.
Now,
what we want to do is create another magical moment like the 2022 fight to then allow us to hopefully propel women's boxing further in the future.
Was that not more of a home fight for Serrano, the second one?
No. The second one?
Yeah.
The second one wasn't about Taylor Serrano. The second one was about Jake Paul and Mike Tyson and creating an opportunity for women's boxing. I think you have it completely wrong if you think there was anything to do with Taylor or Serrano in that second fight. You're not paying attention, Owen.
There was co-main event.
They were the co-main event based on giving women's boxing a platform that it deserved. There was many who said Taylor and Serrano should be the main event. But our objective was to create as much demand as possible for women's boxing. And we knew that meant them fighting right before Jake Paul and Mike Tyson.
Yeah, but it's still on the record.
What are we arguing about here? I'm a little confused by this interaction here.
Well, it's still...
Can I come on here so you can tell me how amazing Katie Taylor is and try to diminish Amanda Serrano? Or do we come out here to talk about this amazing moment for women's boxing? Do we come out here to talk about that there's two unified championships and three undisputed championships next Friday night? More undisputed championships in the history of boxing ever on one night. You haven't mentioned that once. Instead, you've spent the entire time talking about Katie Taylor, Katie Taylor, Katie Taylor. And I understand your show in Ireland, but I know Katie Taylor, her own words, this is the biggest event of her career, the best moment of her career, because she's headlining an all-women's card. So let's focus on that.
Yeah. Oh, man, I am excited for this fight. Don't get me wrong. And I'm sure most of our listeners are as well.
This event. Yeah. We're excited for this event.
This event. Okay. Yeah. I mean, loads of different fighters fighting on tonight. I was just going back to something you had said was all pulling you up a little bit on it, because it really felt like Madison Square Garden, neutral venue, okay. Down to Dallas, that really felt like a home Serrano fight. Back to Madison Square Garden, neutral venue once again. So why could it not be neutral, away, home? That's all I'm asking.
It was never intended to be a home Serrano fight. It was an event intended to be for Jake Paul and Mike Tyson.
I know, but this is still a real mark on their card.
$18.1 million of tickets, a record for outside of Las Vegas in combat sports history. Yeah. There was no consideration of, let's make this a home fight for Amanda Serrano. Nor was that a discussion from Katie Taylor in her camp. True professional. They weren't like, oh no, we see this as a home fight for Amanda Serrano. No,
that's what Katie's it ended up being.
Best athletes in the world. She wasn't thinking about that. She was thinking about the opportunity, the stage, the platform, the distribution, the eyeballs. That's what she was focused on.
But that's what it ended up being, Nikki said. It doesn't matter what they anticipated it being. The reality is that it was a home fight for her. I mean, Rosie Perez on the commentary team interviewing Jordan Maldonado mid-fight, not giving Katie Taylor's opportunity, corner opportunity to talk.
This was a hometown for Amanda Serrano. She knew that wasn't the intention, and she knew that wasn't...
And there's nothing wrong with that. I've got no problem with it being a hometown fight for Serrano. I'm just asking the question, did you consider giving Katie Taylor...
It wasn't a hometown fight for Serrano. It had nothing to do with Serrano.
It was a hometown crowd.
And we're going to MSG because it's an iconic venue where they had their first fight, and we want equal representation from both Irish and Puerto Rican fans.
And I'm sure that's what it's going to be.
MVP is underwriting this event, and we could have pushed for it to be in a Amanda Serrano favorite territory, irrespective of who won the fight, because there was no contract for this next fight to happen. Katie Taylor has chosen to take this fight. Amanda Serrano has chosen to take this fight. The sanctioning bodies didn't force it. There was no rematch clause that required it. This is two athletes knowing they bring the best out of each other, and they've chosen to do it once again. For your benefit, for the fans of Puerto Rico, for the fans of Ireland, and for all of boxing.
Honestly, we cannot wait, Nikisa. I can't wait for this fight, but we got to say, there's a full card available on Netflix next week. Always a pleasure chatting to you. CEO of MVP Promotions, Nikisa Badarian. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Owen.
Off the Ball Daily.